Hi, this is Vikas Dubey, BA Part 2 Faculty of Social Science. Now, we are going to study the life of John Galsworthy, who is the writer of Loyalties. John Galsworthy was one of the leading literary figures of England in the first quarter of the century. He was a prolific writer and he wrote poems, plays, novels and short stories, but his fame chiefly rests on his first saga and his social tragedies. He was born with the proverbial silver spoon in his mouth, and he did not have to struggle with poverty as Shaw, for instance, had to do. But he did not have the typical rich man's attitude towards life. He had genuine sympathy with the underdog, and he used his pen to rouse the conscience of the world regarding the sufferings of the individual due to our vicious social, economic and legal practices and conventions. John Galsworthy was born on the 14th of August 1867 in a Victorian mansion amid the woods of Combe, Surrey at Kingston Hill. His father, also named John Galsworthy, was a practicing solicitor in London. He was a wealthy man and had the refinement and culture of the best British aristocrats. The portrait of old Jolyon in Faust's saga bears considerable resemblance to the senior Galsworthy. Galsworthy had great respect and admiration for his father. Galsworthy enjoyed all those advantages and privileges which are available to the son of rich parents. He had his early education at preparatory school at Bournemouth and was then sent to the famous public school at Harrow. There he did well in his studies, but was not an outstanding scholar. He distinguished himself as an athlete and runner. He was captain of the school football team and the head of his house. He did not take much interest in literary pursuits, and from his career at Harrow, no one could guess that one day he would turn out to be a world-famous novelist and dramatist. From Harrow, he went to Oxford, and he graduated with honors in law from New College in 1889. He thus had the best education available in England. He got the best out of the institution where he studied, and they did not make him a snob, as these institutions are reputed to do. He had a warm heart, and he was deeply touched by the sufferings of the poor, the infirm and the outcast. He had experience of these when he went to collect rent on his father's property. These experiences found a place in his works in later life. His father wanted to make him a barrister. He was called to the bar in 1890, but he practiced very little. I read, he says, in various chambers, practiced almost not at all, and disliked my profession thoroughly. Law courts were very boring to him. He was, however, well acquainted with legal procedures, and he was beautifully depicted court scene in many of his plays. His father sent him to Canada to investigate the affairs of a mine, and to the South Seas and New Zealand to learn something of navigation, with a view to the Admiralty Bar. He had no dearth of money, and he developed a wanderlust, and he travelled round the world for 2 years. During his voyages, he read Dickens, Turgenev, Manupas, Tolstoy and Ibsen, and they influenced him greatly. On his way home from Australia in the sailing ship Orange, he formed the friendship of the great Polish sailor novelist Joseph Conrad. But neither the author whom he read nor Joseph Conrad could ignite the spark of authorship in Galsworthy. This credit goes to Ada, who was in those days the wife of his cousin Arthur. He met her only a week after her marriage to Arthur. A warm friendship grew up between them, which soon blossomed into romantic love. She left her husband, but John could not marry her because divorce proceedings would have brought disgrace to the family, and he did not want to give pain to his father. They waited for 12 years. The senior Galsworthy died in 1904, and Ada and John were married in 1905. She created in him the desire to write. He writes, if one has been brought up at an English public school and university, is addicted to sport and travel, has a small independent income, and is a briefless barrister. One will not take literature seriously, but one might like to please her of whom one is fond. I began in 2 years. I wrote 9 tales. They had every fault. A critic says we might never have got anything from him except an account of local fox hounds had it not been for Ada. He acknowledges his debt to Ada in his dedication to the Forester saga. He called her the most dearest and lovely companion, the most faithful helpmate, and the best natural critic a man ever had. She was a source of encouragement and inspiration to him, and she acted as his secretary and critic throughout his literary career. They had no children, but they led very happy lives in mutual love and admiration. His literary career began in 1897 with the publication of From the Four Winds, a collection of short stories. This was followed by 2 novels and another collection of stories. They were published under the pseudonym John Sinojohn. They were merely literary exercises and were not noticed by the critics at all. Galsworthy made a mark on the literary scene with the appearance of the Silver Box in 1906. Plays and stories now came from his pen in quick succession. By the end of the 30s of this century, he had, to his credit, 30 volumes of poems, plays, novels, and short stories. Galsworthy was a great social reformer and philanthropist. He was full of humanism. He loved all living beings, including our dumb brethren. He had tremendous sympathy for the poor and the sufferers. He was modest and reserved by temperament. He had no conceit or vanity. He was sweet-tempered, amiable, and kind-hearted. He was humble and courteous. He was very generous by temperament. He hated rumors and scandals and never uttered a harsh word for anyone. During the First World War, he worked hard for the relief of wounded British soldiers. In recognition of his contribution to literature and his public service, he was offered a knighthood in 1980, but he declined it because he felt that literature is its own reward. He felt that a title of this type was not appropriate to the profession of literature, but he accepted literary honors in 1921. He was made the first president of the London Center of the PEN, a worldwide organization of poets, playwrights, essayists, and novelists. In 1929, he was awarded the Order of Merit. In 1932, he was awarded the Nobel Prize for Literature. He received honorary degrees from his own Oxford University and many other universities. Galsworthy passed his last days quietly in his country home in Sussex, like a typical country squire. He joined music and the company of his large family of cats and dogs. He was very fond of horses and loved to ride even in his old age. He died at Grove Laws on the 31st of January 1933, and his essays, according to his direction, were scattered to the winds. John Hampen's remarks about Galsworthy is worth quoting. He says, since his death in 1933, the level of his popularity has remained remarkably constant. He depicted an epoch of summon conventions and social injustices with incisive clarity, and he depicted facets of the English character inherent in the epoch and the social system that typified it without either animosity or fulsome indulgence. If the word genius is denied him, he would certainly never have complained it. He can never be denied the less controversial qualities of sincerity, sympathy, and superb craftsmanship. Now, his personality and character. His appearance. Galsworthy is about medium height, wrote Frank Harris, is spare of habit and vigorous. His head long, well shaped, his features fairly regular, and straight nose, high forehead. He is almost completely bald and wears glasses. seen close to his face becomes more interesting. The serious blue eyes can laugh. The lips are large and well cut, promising a good deal of feeling, but the characteristic expression of the face is seriousness and sincerity. Typical Englishman. He was a typical Englishman. He loved England and was jealous of his country's honor and accepted with great seriousness his responsibility as an English citizen. He loved the English countryside, which evoked in him deeper emotions than the more spectacular beauty of other lands. In his writings, he confined himself to English characters and English scenes. The themes of his plays were the problems that were faced by the English people in those days. But Galsworthy's patriotism was not a narrow variety. He did not believe in the superiority of the English man over other races. He did not believe that it was the English man's right to rule over the lesser breeds without the law. He had all the nobler qualities of English character. He was reserved and exercised great self-control. He had the typical English man's instinct for fair play and justice to all. In 1921, he was made the first president of London Center of the PEN, an international fraternity of writers, and he worked hard up to the end of his days for its goals of international goodwill and understanding. When he got the Nobel Prize, he passed on the entire money for the promotion of the noble ideals of the PEN. His generosity. He was generous by temperament. He lived on less than half his income and gave the rest in charity. He helped his needy relations and gave small pensions to a lot of poor old people during the war. He had his wife served in a military hospital to give all the possible help to the wounded. His religion. He was against the fight between the Christians and the Jews on the basis of religion. He was against dogma in religion. His religion consisted of sincerity, truthfulness, and kindness to all. Kindness to animals. His kindness was not confined to human beings only. He loved animals and pleaded for humane treatment to them. In the beginning, he was fond of hunting, but then he gave it up because he realized that what was sport for man was tragedy for the birds and beasts. He visited slaughter houses and advocated painless killing of animals. In his country house, he had a large family of horses, cats, and dogs. His sympathy. He hated all forms of tyranny and oppressions. All his writing shows his sympathy for the underdog. In many of his plays, he brought out the sufferings of the victims of social wrongs. He had a warm heart, and it went out in sympathy with those individuals who were crushed down by the brute majority. He raised his voice against men who treated women as their property. He opposed all class conflicts and wanted equity and justice to be practiced in the relation between men and men and men and women. His self-control and impartiality. At the University of Oxford, he acquired the Oxford man's habit of reasonable hesitation, the open mind which sees both sides of every question. In most controversies, he was unwilling to take sides, and one could almost see the balance in his mind swinging this way and that. In his plays, he is absolutely impartial in stating the case for capital as well as labor, for the rich as well as the poor, for the aristocrats and the industrialists. He was reserved and modest. He was sweet-tempered, and nobody ever heard him utter a harsh or unkind word. Only gross cruelty, particularly towards helpless animals, roused his anger. The desire to help and serve others was an obsession with him. His deep silence, perfect self-control, and dignified reserve were often mistaken by casual visitors for dryness and aloofness. He thirsted for beauty and had a keen eye for it. He loved nature and lived like a country squire in his country house in the midst of nature. He loved paintings and his house was adorned with them. Kindness and courage. Galsworthy's faith is best summed up in the following lines of Adam Lindsay Gordon, which particularly appealed to him and which he often linked to quote. Life is mostly froth and bubble. Two things stand like a stone. Kindness is another's trouble. Courage is in your own. Thank you. This is the end of introduction about John Galsworthy, who was the great dramatist and writer of the great extramurality.